Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
So many people would love to make their career as a performer, but I don't have to tell you, it ain't easy. I have a guy in the studio who may help you make it just a bit easier. Terry Bradford. Who is this Terry Bradford dude? Well, he was Celine Dion's duet partner for 5 years. And he has impressed me not just with his incredible singing and performing ability, and not just with his huge heart, although he's got one of them. It is easy to mistake somebody who laughs like he does, who's got a big heart, as being naive about the practicalities of how to make a living as a performer. That would be a mistake. Terry is one savvy dude, and he's here in the studio with me now to share secrets of the trade, how one might increase the chances of bucking the odds and actually making a living as a performer. And yes, you're going to get to hear what I think is some of the best singing you're ever going to hear. Terry Bradford, welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
I told you he laughs. He does laugh.
That's perfect.
All right, well, let's get down to it. Let's say I was a singer. And let's say my teachers have said, oh, I have the potential to be a professional, but I've never made more than $5,000 a year as a singer. What advice would you give me?
First of all, $5,000 is nice.
What do you... You can't afford toilet paper.
Living. I was going to say, it won't make a living, but you got $5,000. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I told you, he's a positive guy.
That's it. But here's the deal. If your teacher has told you you're good, that's one thing. There's another part of this. Do you tell you you're good? You know, that's the beginning of where you are. So the first thing that's got to happen for you is you've got to believe in yourself. And we take it from there, because that belief in yourself is going to help you persevere. It's going to help you stand up against all the odds. So the one teacher saying, you know, you got it going on, you take that and you live with that and you go, yes, I got it going on. And then we start there. And how do you make a living? Well, now you've got to do some research, don't you? You've got to find out what's really going on. What's going on in this industry? How do you get started? How does that, you know, how does that begin for you? What are you trying to do? Let's start there.
Well, let's role play. So let's say I got to the point where I believe in myself. I think I'm great. My teacher thinks I'm great, but I'm a little worried. Hey, my teacher's paid to say I'm great because he makes his living by being positive and encouraged. Right. So, but I do believe in myself. I think I'm really good.
Right? Good.
And let's try to pick the most typical. I'm a pop singer. Let's try to pick something that's not too weird.
That's right.
You know, I'm a pop singer.
Yeah.
And I want to be like you. Oh, you don't know this, by the way, dear listeners. He won Star Search. He didn't come in. He wasn't a quarter finalist, eighth finalist. He won Star Search. And I didn't mention that he also was Linda Ronstadt's duet partner during her Millennium Tour. So
yeah.
We're talking not chop liver here.
Yeah.
So, okay. So now, let's say I want to be a pop singer. I want to be like you. I want to be like Terry Bradford. Now what do I do?
All right. So then if you want to be like Terry Bradford or you want to be a pop singer. As a pop singer, okay, where are you? Are you in the, let's look at, what's the name of that show? X Factor.
Right.
Okay, let's look at that concept.
Right.
So now you're either one of the kids, or you're one of the teens, or you're one of the over 30s. Okay, so let's look at that. All right, so let's say I'm a teen. Well, now we're looking at all these wonderful little things like Twitter and Facebook and what have you, and we're getting our friends to go to YouTube and watch us, etc. And we're building our numbers. It's about the numbers, y'all. It's really about how many people, how many faces can you get, you know, look, how many eyes can you get on you? And let's get that started, because that's what companies are going to look at.
Let me ask you this. So a lot of our listeners are in their 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s.
Love it. Woohoo!
Right. So let's say I pick something in the middle. I'm 40 years old.
Perfect.
And I want to be a pop singer aimed at my generation, let's just say.
I love it.
And I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I got email, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I would like to be on the X Factor, but I also, do I start by doing open mics at clubs? Do I start by, do I go and have my demo? How do I make the right kind of a demo? Who do I show it to? How do I get an agent? Walk mm-hmm. me through, or do I forget about all that and try to get on the X Factor? What do I do? What do I do?
Well, see, now that's a choice and a choice. Because one is, everybody needs practice. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how far you've come. You know, even, you know, Celine Dion. Celine may be doing all her shows, but guess what? Every show she does is another rehearsal. That's another time she gets to revisit how she does what she does. One, a good friend of mine, David Foster, who creates a whole bunch of megastars, he's a producer. And what he did is, what he does is you'll see him doing all of his big shows and doing all that wonderful stuff. But then at the other end of the spectrum, you'll see him doing these small things where he's just testing the waters for different ideas. You're a creative person. Each person who has decided they want to be a singer or they want to be whatever that is, you're a creative individual, and you have got to live out all that creativity.
I want you to be specific. So I want to live out my creativity. I want to practice. I don't have a David Foster. I am Joe Schnook, who's living in Oakland, California.
All right.
And I want to know what I do today when I get stop listening to Terry
right.
Bradford. What do I do today?
That's right.
What do I do tomorrow?
You have got to go to the clubs and you've got to start singing. You have got to get yourself, if you're over 30 and you're doing it in this way, you have got to say, okay, I'm doing my clubs, and I'm getting my friends to do little parties, and I'm singing at their parties, and I'm looking online, I'm looking in the papers, I'm looking for things that are going to get me more visibility, because you need all the visibility you can get if you're trying to be that visible artist. So where do you want to be that visible artist? Is it online? If you want to be the visible artist online, then you need to look online and see what gets the most visibility.
Where? No, I want to ask for both of those. Getting a job on a club, I will tell you, I know people who have sent their videos to the Raz Room and the Venetian Room and to Bimbo's and the Club 365 and the Uptown. How do you get even the attention of the bookers there? Do you need an agent? What do you do to get into the clubs?
You want to know who it is that's going to look at your stuff. You're dealing with a person. See, and this is where a lot of people make a mistake. They go into any company dealing with the company. You're dealing with a person. So you've got to think about, who is that person?
I'm going to stop you, because many people, they list them on the website, who the booker is, mm-hmm. who the artistic director is, and people send in their demos,
mm-hmm.
and like Jeffrey Givens, uh-huh. you know, and then she got one big silence.
Been there, done that.
Right, right. Now, dear listeners, you need to know that Terry Bradford had auditioned for Star Search,
yeah, that's right.
Three times, and he said, "Oh, you're great."
That's
and
right.
Nothing happened.
That's right.
It took four times before. So now, uh-huh. what do you take for the people who, you know, it's easy to go find the name of the booker at these clubs.
Yes,
but then, how do you get through the clutter of all the other people who are also saying, I want to be singing that club?
Who do you know that knows that person? And guess what? If you don't know a person who knows that person, then it's time for you to start going about it this other direction.
How do you do that?
It's time for you to find an agent or a manager who has some connections.
We're going to talk agents, how to get an agent, how to get a manager. But first, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco. My very special guest is Terry Bradford. He was Celine Dion's singing partner for 5 years, Linda Ronstadt's on her Millennium Tour, and one of the best teachers. I've watched him give a singing lesson. If you want a singing lesson to end singing lessons, you need... Well, how do they find out about that? How do they get the information about singing lessons with you? He lives up in Napa.
Yes. We go to, what is it, TerryBradford.com.
Just go to TerryBradford.com and then
check me out on TerryBradford.com/lessons.
Oh, TerryBradford.com/lessons. Now, we're talking lesson.
Yeah.
TerryBradford.com/lesson. Okay, we've been talking about him singing. Before we get to this agent manager stuff, we got to make you prove your stuff, sir. So, give us a little introduction. You're going to sing I Believe. So tell us a little bit about that.
This is from a live concert I did a few years ago, actually, and it's a CD that I produced along with the DVD. And I Believe is it's an a cappella number. I started out the concert with it, with an a cappella number, and then it leads into it's two different versions of I Believe. There's the old version of I Believe, and then there was this new kind of pop version of I Believe. Okay. So,
why? When I remember first seeing you at the Berkeley, at the Julie Morgan at Berkeley,
yes,
and you sang that song and it knocked. It was tremendous. Oh. What does that mean? What does that song personally? It feels like that song almost more than any is emblematic about the human being inside of Terry Bradford. Mm. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, it really does. It just tells you how I feel about how life is and what it, you know, how this is for me. I started out, you know, my granny started me playing piano when I was 3 years old. And when she started that, you know, it was funny because I was like, okay, whatever. And, you know, and playing piano was like a cute thing. But when Granny started me, she was president of a church choir. And she would sing songs to me standing behind me at the piano. And then she'd say, now pick it out, pick it out, pick it out. That was her thing. So I'd have to pretend to do it by ear. And I did that and went from that to kindergarten, where I started formal piano lessons. But when I played with her, she had me sing everything I played. That kind of growth, or that's something that she saw as a kid, is how I feel about everybody, which is you have so much in you. You have so much, and you don't know it. See, Granny made this statement. She says, oh, child, you're a baby. You don't know what you need. You don't know what you want. Well, I say we're all babies, and we don't know what we need. We don't know what we want.
But you believe. Let's hear.
Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, every time I touch a leaf, every time I see the sky, then I know why I believe.
Now, there you go. Now you see what I am talking about, dear listeners. You just heard Terry Bradford, who gave me goosebumps. Okay, now from the sublime to the practical.
Yes.
Now, let's turn. You said that if you can't seem to get past getting the attention of these bookers at these clubs, you need to get an agent or a manager. First of all, at the risk of sounding totally stupid, what's the difference between an agent and a manager?
Legally, the agent finds you work, and the manager helps you figure out what kind of artist you are and what best fits you in terms of which kind of work should you have, what kind of PR should you have.
But you have a manager named Mary.
Yes, I do.
Mary Wilner. And Mary Wilner does a lot more than that. Why don't you tell me the truth about what Mary does for you?
Yes. Mary is everything for me. Mary does everything in the world for me as an artist. And that's because, and I don't have an agent right now. I only had it once, just right after Star Search. I got an agent and I had to tell them what I wanted and how to get what I needed to get at that point. And they were surprised at what we could do because it was me telling the agent how to work it. Well, with Mary, because we're partners in this, getting it done, and that's the most important part of getting a manager anyways, is they need to be on your team. They need to be a partner with you. Somebody, it's almost like a marriage. And, you know, and that's it's a real, real deal, because you've got to be honestly you, and they are going to be honestly them, and they're going to say, you know what, that isn't going to work, and this is going to work, and we can do this, and we can't do that, and let's get this done. Mary's my best friend. I call her my BFFF, my best friend forever, for real, y'all.
Love it.
Because she has to know everything about me.
Sure.
Because she has to control. Mary's going to control all of the PR. Mary's going to control when we get this CD done, what it really needs to sound like, why it needs to sound like that, because she knows where it's going to go and what it's going to do. Mary's going to control, like, okay, let's look at that look you decided to wear. And I go, you know, hey, I love this pink head with the middle head blocked out with my teeth yellow on the side and only green in the middle. And she says, you know what? That's not going to work for who you're trying to talk to or for your message, because that's what your manager is going to help you keep in line with. What are you really trying to say? You know, who are you and what are you trying to put out there? I don't care who you're looking at. You can look at back in the day at Madonna, since we're all in that era, we all ought to know who that is. You can look back at Madonna, you can look at Celine, you can look at all those people. And every one of them, even though you know that their music is just pop music or whatever's going on, haha, that's wonderful, there's still a message they're bringing you.
Let's go back to the to my 40-year-old person who's trying to be a singer. Should he at this point, she, of course, should he or she get a manager, an agent, both, and how does he find the right one that is going to be compatible?
Okay, so for a manager, I think one of the things you do is you look at other artists that are doing what you do and find out who their managers are.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Because then that tells you who knows how to get you where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And that manager, once you're able to contact them through that artist, whoever that is, once you're able to contact their company, that manager may say, you know, well, I'm really busy. I can't do that. And you say, can you suggest? And they will give you an upstart manager. They'll give you an idea.
Good
on
tip.
The upstart.
Like it. Now, you know, the more I listen to you, not before today, but certainly now, I really think of you as having kind of a brand, the brand being it's your humanity. I see you as Mr. Hope. Your stories, your songs, just the way you interact with every human being on the planet is giving people hope even in these very, very tough times. How important is it that a performer consciously brand themselves?
Oh, you know what? Like I said, our first question is, you know, who am I? And then the other question is, who do people think I am? And that's that's the big question. Because I may have a view of myself and others may have a completely different view. You want to know who these people think you are, because once you find that out, then you can say, oh, okay, well, let me get control of that. Because I may think I'm like you just said, you think I'm Mr. Hope. Well, what if I think I'm Mr. Crazy? And I keep showing up crazy and you're like, but I keep seeing hope. Why are you?
Wow, is that interesting. It's so interesting that you're more interested in your onstage presence reflecting how others see you rather than who you really are inside. We always hear, you know, pious pontification about authenticity, and yet you're saying it's more important really to be the onstage character as perceived by others.
Yes, because here's the deal, and you can marry those two. Don't get me wrong. You can marry them because as long as you know that you're honestly you and this is who you are, and then you say, oh, how do y'all see me? And they say, it's completely different. Then now it's time for you to take a reflection and say, well, what is going on? Why am I presenting this other thing when I think I'm this? So you figure out what is that little thing that's missing between you and the the reflection of you.
Just as a human question, I see you as an outsider. I'm just a fan, you know, and see you as Mr. Hope. What are you like really inside? What is really you?
Well, that's the fun part. I am Mr. Hope. And that's the fun part, because I'm seriously completely always saying, okay, this is how we do this. This is how we come on, you guys. You got it. And I believe in everybody. I believe in me, first of all, and I believe in you. And I believe in a whole bunch of love.
Right.
I am Mr. Hope. I am the very person you see. But that's not because, it's not because you just saw that in me. It's because I know that about me.
Therefore,
everything. And Mary, my manager, said, okay, you know, well, this is the best way to shape that person that you are. Because, hey, I did, after Star Search, and I got with the agent. Well, they were like, you know what? Let's go hip hop, dude. And so I put on all the little jumpsuits. And I started dancing around looking crazy because, you know, they said that's the way to go, which was not who I am. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But the agent thought they could get me gigs.
You know, there's a related question to that. This whole notion, you know, I'm a career counselor. That's what I do. And there's such pressure to package people with a particular image and having, you know, the great demo and having the great video resume and the 30-second elevator pitch and the right clothes and the right costume. What about trying to develop this package as your public persona? I don't know what I'm really trying to ask here. Do you ever feel you lose yourself at all? You know, is it really that critical, or can people go out and just be themselves and sing?
You can be yourself and sing. And the deal is, though, where is the product? I don't care what you do. You're in the industry, you're still going to be a product. And so if, you know, what is the product we're looking at? And what is myself? Because there are certain clothes that depict a certain being. If I come out in goth clothes and I tell you, well, I'm just the boy next door, you're like, I don't think so. I think you're goth.
Okay. You know, I want to get you to sing some more. And, you know, maybe one of the other songs that you do that is emblematic of Mr. Hope and caring about everybody is Lean On Me.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what Lean On Me means to you.
You know, that's a very important part of my life where I've had to lean on a lot of people for, you know, at one point I thought my career was over. I don't even think I knew I had a career. But at that point, I thought it was over. I thought I couldn't sing. I thought I couldn't do anything because some producers had said, oh, well, you know, you ain't got it like that.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah. You'll always
People
get
told
that.
You, who's the best performer I've seen and heard, wait till you're going to hear another thing in a minute, they told you you don't have it?
Yes, that has happened.
Wow.
So, and that will happen to every one of y'all. Don't even listen to that foolishness. Listen to the person and that teacher you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, lest you think I'm sucking up to my guest and he's just some average singer. Listen to him sing Lean On Me.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have failed. You need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs that you won't let show. Lean on me.
it is my pleasure to be leaning on Terry Bradford, my special guest here on Work with Marty Nemco. We're talking about how to beat the odds and make it as a performer, and who better than some guy who is intrinsically in every cell of his body is an optimist. As an excellent balance to curmudgeonly Marty Nemco.
I love it.
So it is indeed a pleasure to have you on. So you know what? I want to make sure we get plenty of... I'm being really disgusted. This is not what I'm supposed to do. I need to hear another cut just because I need to do it. So, Joanne, would you please... this is unanimous. Tell us what unanimous
is.
What do you got?
This is a song that I wrote a while back. And what happened in the studio is I was in studio with the producer. And we were like, you know, he says, hey, what do you want to name this? And I said, because it was just the way I was feeling, I said, you know, I want to name this CD Unanimous. And he said, that's lovely. He said, do you have a song called it? I said, I do not. And he was like, you know, you might want to have a song called Unanimous on the CD. And I said, okay, let's do it. And he just started playing the guitar. And as he was playing, I was like, oh, I have this. And I immediately wrote the song, and we recorded it right then and there.
Let's hear it.
Your compliments let me know it's all right to just be me. Your kindness washes over me like the sun. It's clear that when you hear my words, they also set you free. Could this be one more sign that we are one? Then it's unanimous. We both agree it's true. That is magnanimous. What love can do, I find luminous. The thought of me.
Terry Bradford. All right, back to business here. Let's say now I am this 40-year-old person.
Yes.
And finally, with or without an agent or a manager or whatever, I finally get my gig in a club. Maybe it's an open mic. Maybe it's a one-night Tuesday night in some club in Oakland or whatever.
Yeah.
But I got my shot.
That's right.
And I want to make the most of it.
Loving it.
What advice do you give me so that I knock it out of the park?
The first thing you want to do is realize that you singing at the club, though wonderful, the important part of it is going to be who's listening, who's out there. Do everything you can to fill that place up.
Mm-hmm. What do I do? I'm scared. Right. So I'm the singer.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite my friends. I want to fill a place up. Tell me what I want to get some agents. I want to get some big bookers. I want to get important people there. How do I do that?
You know what's funny? The biggest part is to get your everybody there. Not is the agents and the bookers. That'll be lovely. But get your everyday person there. Those people have to be there because they are your numbers. And the numbers are what the agents and the bookers and all those people are going to look at. So you want those numbers there. And the reason you want them is because that's where your heart is. When you pour out yourself, when you stand up naked on that stage, because that's what singing is,
yeah.
When you give that all, then those people are there for you.
I want to talk about that naked part. I am coaching Jeffrey Gibbons, who's been on this show, in her one-woman show, and that's all I tell her. I say, you must give it all up on the stage, whether you're telling stories, the most intimate, personal stories that anybody can relate to, tell those stories with complete honesty. When you sing, you have an orgasm at the end of that song.
Yeah.
You want to leave it all on that stage.
Yes, you do.
Want to, right. As somebody who's teaches other people, many people are introverted by nature, even those who are performers.
Yes.
They're not big mouths like me.
Right.
What advice do you have for the people who know they need to leave it all on the stage? They need to reveal it all. But their basic nature is introverted. What advice do you have for them on how to become a different persona on stage and still be authentic?
You've got a choice. You can either become a different person, you know, like the Michael Jackson, which is he's introverted in life and yet he was, you know, just the biggest thing on stage. Or you can be the introvert on stage.
Exactly. That's what I've done with Jeffrey in some ways. In the storytelling, in the singing, I turn her into a maniac. But when she's telling her stories, I want her very low-key, the shy woman that she really is. It's much more engaging. Yep.
That's it. That's it, because that's the honesty. That's the thing that's going to come out. That's when people are going to relate to you.
Exactly. Okay. Now, let's say, because my audience does tend to be older, let's say a 40, 50, 60, 70. Right, exactly. and let's say I've made some money as a musician. But as you know, it's an ageist world. We like young people. We pay young people. It's the young performers. So let's say we're 50 or 60. And we've made some money as a musician. But now we got gray hair. Our body ain't a 20-year-old's body anymore. And we don't want to give it up. What advice do you have?
It's time for you to find the rest of those 50 and 60-year-old people who want to hear you. Here's the deal. You're trying to relate. That's why we're creating so much. We're trying to say, here's who I am. Here's where I am. Here's how I feel. And that audience, we need an audience that relates to us. And 50s and 60-year-olds, they need somebody to relate to when they're listening to music as well.
Definitely.
And guess what? Once you hit that group, you're probably going to hit a bunch of young people, too, who are what do you call them? They say that their parents, you know, that's an old school.
Old school stuff. Yeah.
That's right. And they'll be going for old school as well. So this is what you're saying. You'll get a broader audience, but you got to reach for that audience that will relate.
I agree. Let's listen to another cut. What are we waiting for? What do you want to tell us about? What are we waiting for?
That's another song I wrote, and that's exactly the question. What are we waiting for?
Okay, right, especially if we're in our 50s and 60s.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't have unlimited time. Let's hear it.
If we are the reason, and now is the season, what are we if love is the answer and hate is the cancer, what are we waiting for?
Okay, and if you're wondering whether you've been waiting too long to try to become a better performer, dear listeners, you know, it is pretty rare that you could get somebody to teach you who has been Celine Dion's singing partner for 5 years, who is Linda Ronstadt's duet partner for her Millennium Tour, and who's got a heart as big as gold and the optimism that is so needed to try to persevere through tough times in general and tough times in music. Yeah. I do encourage you to, you know, and, you know, everybody in their career has pinnacle moments and moments in the valleys. And as it happens, and I don't know if you don't like me saying this or not, right now you got a little time on your hands, which you haven't had for an awful long time.
That's right.
So that's why he's teaching. It is important to get the greats in their valleys, because when he's in his on his next mountain, he ain't going to have time for you. This is the time to get Terry Bradford. So if you would like singing lessons from the guy, I would take, I promise you, I would take singing. If I wanted to sing, and I can't sing worth squat, but if I could sing and wanted to sing and I wanted to perform, I would go to terrybradford.com/lesson. Is what I would do. Now, one softball question and one more song, I'm going to let you go. If there's one more thing that you would like to tell our listeners, they could be aspiring performers, they're just listeners to work with Marty Nemco. What's the one more thing you want to tell them?
Listen, everybody, it's never too late. You can do this at any time, any age. You can do this. It is never too late to be who you have always wanted to be. And whatever it is you've always wanted to do, it's never too late to put that out there. Give everything you got. Make it happen, y'all.
Check out TerryBradford.com. Also, he's got his CDs on there. He's just CDs and all that other stuff. Let's, as you're walking out of here, let's play one more cut. Our World. Just play it. Again, Terry Bradford, thanks so much for being my guest on Work with Marty Nemco.
Thank you, Marty.
And Mary Wilner, thanks for coming in and sitting by beside, and your big smiles also. Right, much appreciated. All right, dear listeners. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
You mind staying around and answer a couple of questions from callers?
Oh, cool.
All right. Dear listeners, I'm not letting him go. I want you to get a shot at him. If you or someone you love is a singer, a performer of any sort, an aspiring mm-hmm. one, whether you're 16 or 76.
That's right.
And you got a question for Terry, I invite you to give him a call. Here's the phone number. Here, Work with Marty Nemco. This is your one shot at Terry Bradford. Just don't punch him. 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Okay. While we're waiting for a call or two to come in, I was expecting to say goodbye to you, but I really want to get the calls too. And again, 415-841-4134. We briefly talked about online. You said Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Millions of people are on Twitter. Millions of people are on Facebook.
Yeah.
What's one tip that you would use to make the most of Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, et cetera, if I was an aspiring performer?
Well, the first thing you do is, I think the biggest tip is know what it is you're trying to put out there. So whatever it is, if you're trying to be a singer, then let everybody know you're trying to be a singer, and this is what you want, whatever the specific is.
Would you put the Mr. Hope in there? Like if you were, would you mention your brand right there on Twitter tweets and Facebook or no?
I would probably be my brand, which is if I'm Mr. Hope, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you some wonderful things that help you be hopeful, because the information is the most important part of anything on the net.
Let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco with Terry Bradford. What is your question or comment for Terry?
Is that me?
It is.
Oh, great. Well, when you mentioned shy and introverted, I'm in sales and I have to give a sales presentation.
Wow.
And, wondering what, other than saying Toastmasters and those kinds of things, any other kind of suggestions you might have that would be helpful?
Would you say you're shy?
And introverted, and I have to give a sales presentation.
Oh, okay. So what is your fear then?
Just I get really nervous when I'm in front of a group of people.
Okay. And you know that nervousness is because you're kind of feeling unprepared, or you're feeling like, what am I going to do? What is going to happen here? And you're going to have to just kind of take that deep breath and kind of just get your muscles a little tightened up for a second so that you feel like, oh, okay, I got this. That's going to be the beginning of it.
I want to share what you know. As a career counselor, I have a lot of clients who have that fear, so I'm going to share a buffet of ideas, and you tell me if any of these resonate
Perfect.
With you. Number one, first of all, is recognizing that what Terry was saying is true. Some people can just spontaneously get up there and do their thing. They make a few notes. But if somebody is scared, over-preparing is a way to dissipate some of that fear. Start by scripting it. Mm-hmm. Make it short and script it. Mm-hmm. But then do not, and you can read it a couple of times out loud, but then I want you to take that piece of paper, that script, and then only write 3 or 5 points on it and throw away the script. And then give the talk. You don't have to be a big mouth. Do it in your introverted way, but
sure.
Use those 3 or 5 points and give the talk into a tape recorder, into an MP3 recorder. And then the final thing when you're there, of course, deep breaths really do help, but the final thing is realize that most people want you to succeed. Yes, there's some jerks who love to see people squirm and fail, but most people want you to succeed. And when you're talking, Keep your eye contact on the one or two or three people who look most sympathetic.
Yes.
And the jerk who is looking to you to fail, do not come near looking at that person's eyes.
That's right.
Was there anything in that little smorgasbord, brain dump, whatever you want to call it, that might be useful for you?
That's very helpful. Just a quick question, because it's going to be extemporaneous, so I won't be able to rehearse a point.
Oh.
Well, we can rehearse in advance at home.
Pardon me?
Right? Am I wrong? I mean,
yeah, she doesn't have any points. I think they're gonna pose stuff to you there.
Yeah.
Is that
I have
the
to
idea?
Make a presentation on the spot to get a job. As part of the job interview process, they're gonna say, okay, here's a hypothetical situation. Now give a presentation.
Oh, I see. So there's no preparation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the best thing to do is realize that you're not trying to sell yourself as a motivational speaker. Mm. The bar mm-hmm. is merely about can you communicate clearly.
That's
so
right.
It is perfectly appropriate if they give you a scenario, a situation on the fly, say, good question, let me take a moment, and give yourself 5 or 10 seconds to gather your thought and think of 1 or 2 or 3 points. That's all. Take a deep breath, mm-hmm. look at the most sympathetic person, and then be simple. Try to explain. One of the best things you can do is to pretend you're talking to a sixth grader. Because people get in trouble by making things too complicated.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
And that makes people feel stupid. And nobody wants to feel stupid.
That's right.
So pretend you're talking to a sixth grader
yeah.
and talk slow. Don't rush. Don't try to be an extrovert. Be connecting. Usually introverts are warm, connecting people.
Yes.
Be a warm, connecting human being that connects with the most sympathetic people in your audience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Because usually when that happens is I'm not connected. I'm like out of my body experience when I'm trying to talk. I'm not present in the moment.
Mm. Connect. Just even if you can find one person who seems kinder.
Mm-hmm.
Find
okay.
the Terry Bradford kind guy in the audience and connect as though you were their lover.
Right.
and that you were trying to convey something important
okay.
to that human being.
Great.
How does that feel?
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks
Thank
very much
you.
For
okay,
the call.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and my special guest, Terry Bradford. What's your question or comment for him? Hello.
Is this me?
It is.
Okay. I'm in a difficult situation. I've been asked to officiate a wedding.
Mm.
Wow.
And it's for my family, who I have had a lot of issues with.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been kind of the outsider, excluded, very different from everybody else. And for that reason, specifically, I have had a hard time speaking before people because it was kind of a gang-up kind of situation since the very beginning, even through my own parents. And now I'm going to be speaking to them about things that are very important to me, and it's just really hard for me to be focused on what I say because all these other issues are coming up.
Okay. What, Terry, do you want to take the lead or do you want me to take the lead on this?
Go for it if you feel...
I'm fine if you do, if you are. I just, you're my honored guest. I want to be respectful, but if you want me to, I will.
Go for it.
If you were... If there is a God and God were looking down and therefore God is wise and just and looking down on the situation and also your family members, you're not just thinking about that wedding day, but the impact of that, of the words you're going to say over the next 3 or 5 years, what is the one sentence that you would most want to convey in your officiating duties?
Essentially that love is behind everything. Love is the reason that my niece and her to-be are getting married. That's why they, what brought them together. That's what keeps them together. That's what keeps family together as time goes on. And that, the qualities, the ties, all their experiences are all based on love. And it makes everything happen.
And
that's the essence of what I'm getting at.
What is your first name, please?
What's that?
What's your first name?
Eric.
Eric, I promise you that if you did nothing else, other than what you just said to all of our thousands of people listening to the show right now, and you did just what you, with that authenticity, no, you didn't rehearse at all. You get up there and in those spaces in the officiating duties that are not officially mandated, but where you get to say stuff, you say what you just said there and variants thereof, your will heal the relationship between you and your family. I'd bet a lot of money.
I sure hope so. And you know, it's been getting better over time. They've seen different sides of me, and I was actually shocked that they asked me to officiate the wedding. Hmm.
It's not random. They did it because they want to heal. And a statement you just made, they were saying, I want to heal with Eric. You making that statement is going to heal the wound better than a Band-Aid.
That's right.
And Terry, what do you want to add, please?
And I want to say that what I'm hearing is that you're thinking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to come away from there.
I try not to go there. But something in my body and my experience, there's still something there. And it's really hard to clear that out. And I try to be positive all the time. And I've learned a lot in the last 6 months that they asked me because I've been going full front.
And here's the deal. So here's what's happening. You don't have to clear it out right now. What you have to do is you have to ignore it right now. You have to ignore that feeling, and you have to look directly at what you're trying to put out. That's the most important part. What you're trying to say, that statement that you made about it's all coming from love, it's all about love, this is the whole, that's the basis of everything, that's the statement. That's it. That's all you're trying to get out there. Make sure that stays right there. Don't think about I'm going to heal my family. That's not your job. Your job is to be expressed, and you need to just let them know what it is you're trying to say.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Just focusing on that. Can I ask one more related question?
Yes.
And that is, I do get the case of the nerves, and do you have any suggestions on how to calm that down as best as possible?
Yeah, I want to build on what I said to the previous caller. In this case, fortunately, a wedding ceremony is pretty, there are certain elements that are definitely laid out. Take each of those elements and treat it like a treasure that you are crafting. You are crafting a beautiful, loving, wonderful thing. And take that and say, you don't have to come up with it all yourself. Look through, use Google to find little, sermonettes or whatever.
Yeah.
Take each of those things and decide you're going to make a jewel out of it. You're going to make each one wonderful. And so you're going to get excited about the fact that, let's say there are 7 components of a wedding ceremony, that each one of them is your jewel, the jewel that you picked out from all the other jewels and you made it your own. Having that and knowing that, having those guideposts along the way, will take away a lot of the fear and replace it with the excitement that you're going to be sharing those 7 jewels. Does that make sense?
Jewels, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that's a great visual. I appreciate that.
I'm excited about what you're going to be doing. This is going to be a fun wedding, Eric.
Say, hey, where's the invitation, dude?
Hello.
I'll be thinking about you guys.
All right.
I really will.
Thanks
a lot. That way you are invited and you'll be there.
Love it.
Love
Thanks a lot for the call. Love the call, actually. Really appreciate it. Best of luck. I bet you're going to win on this one. You're going to be great. I swear. And I'm no big optimist, but I'm betting on you. You're doing a great job at this. It's going to be very poignant because, with him being estranged from his family and him doing this, I think it's going to knock their socks off.
Oh,
it is. Let's go. Can you stay for one more call?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to Work with Marty. And I've got Terry Bradford. What's your question or comment for Terry?
Hi, thanks. My name's Joanne. How are you doing?
Hi, Joanne. We're well. We're glad to have your call.
Okay.
What's on your mind?
Here's my quick, I'm an artist designer in San Francisco, and I design and make women's accessories from repurposed materials. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago when I first started to be on the morning show in Washington, D.C., talking about my stuff. But so here's my question. I had practiced. I took little videos of myself. I thought I had it all down. I had how I was going to style my things and everything. Mm-hmm. So I get there. I went there actually by myself. I had little money. I stayed in a cheap place. I got down there, had my dress picked perfect.
Yeah.
So everyone was super sweet when I got to the studio. They were like totally loved my product. So I get on and all of a sudden, and I had never done a TV thing before.
Mm-hmm.
So I get on and of course, it was like changed real quick and I didn't have time to, they loved how I was going to style it, but they said, oh, okay, you only have 1 minute. I had to change things. Here's my question. I tend to be, as you probably can tell by my voice, a little bit hyper. So when I got on, all of a sudden I was like, I felt flustered. Since then, other people have seen the video, and I even have it on my site, and people have, my friend edited it, and they said, no, you were great, but how do I guess it's a combination between getting a little bit nervous, but also I tend to be really animated, which can kind of, make you seem a little bit wacko. So how do I kind of control my mannerisms and kind of exaggerated? Do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes if you're so hyper, your like eyeballs bug and your nose is flaring. So how do you control that?
First of all, I think this is the thing we were talking about earlier about the difference between how I see me and how you see me. I love this hyper person. This is great. So there's nothing wrong. Your animation is wonderful. You sound terrific. You sound absolutely just spectacular.
Right now
you sound like a lot of fun.
Right.
And television is waiting on a lot of fun. They need a lot of fun.
Over animated.
No, there's no such thing.
I don't agree.
To the over-animation?
You know what? I am always thinking about the fact that there... who was the guy who was the candidate running in 2004? Howard Dean. Howard Dean. And he... all he did was, when he won the Iowa caucus, he went, yee-hoo!
Yeah,
and you know what?
Crazy.
That was seen as too much... I really actually, to be honest, I think that America is very intolerant of various variations. I think you're only allowed to be mildly enthusiastic. You can't be depressed.
So how can I control
right.
it?
Right. Like, and that's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share my idea, and then I'm going to hear Terry's reaction.
Yeah.
I think when you watch yourself on video, that video, I do want you to watch it again and again. And you don't like the nostril flaring?
Trust me, I've watched it again and again.
Okay. Well, then what I want you to do is, now that you've seen that and you see what you don't like, if there's too much, if you want to rein it in, which you may, I believe you need to do, I want you to sit in front of your webcam. If you don't got one, you can buy one for $50 or less. You can plug it into your computer, and you keep practicing in the privacy of your own home until you can feel the, like what I call muscle memory. You know, when your cheeks are not so tight, so taut that you know you're doing too much, you'll feel what it's where you're in when you're in the sweet spot of enthusiasm. And
that way
it'll be easier for you to repeat that on command. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. So kind of the old thing, I guess practice makes perfect until it becomes part of your physical memory almost.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway,
can I ask one more
and
quick
what
question?
What are you designing?
I have jewelry. I have bags.
Okay, so it's more
them.
Like
I have them, and I'm starting to put them in stores around the country. But
okay, so it's fashion.
Promoting is
so
me,
you're doing fashion. Okay, so you're designing fashion. So how do you know any? When you think about the designers, do you see any of those people out there like you?
You know, and that's what my friend who does my site, who's helping me. Matter of fact, she kind of is fitting the role of the way you described your manager. She's like my, But I'm kind of somewhere caught. That's a problem. Is I'm trying to kind of market, and I'm caught somewhere between being kind of more like, am I a green designer because I use repurposed materials? Am I an artist because I'm making everything myself? And I realize I'm kind of maybe. That's one of the difficult things, but I know that's another question. But can I ask you one more simple question?
I have one more. Before I get to the simple question, it seems to me that there's 10 million clothing designers out there.
Right.
What really makes you unique is the enviro piece. Mm-hmm. So what I would do if I were you is I would go to every organization from waste management that tries to have repurposed itself from a garbage company to an environmental company to the Sierra Club and see if you could sell your stuff through them. Mm-hmm. And so you co-brand and maybe even, to get you excited, create a video. Make it.
I love that idea. And for instance, one of my pieces is a cuff braces that people love, and I'm trying to find, but I'm actually edging it in gold leaf, so it's kind of somewhere between an artist made piece, an expensive piece, and a recycled piece, and I know one of my problems is I'm maybe going in too many ways.
I'm not sure which is the right way. People have made money, like the Walmarts have made money selling lots of stuff cheap. And there are people who sell, like Berkeley Mills sells custom-made furniture, like $10,000 for a desk.
Right.
You know, and there are many ways to, and there are some people who are generalists.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who's like Moen faucets used to have only high-end great faucets. And then they decide they're going to go the cheap route. And now they make some cheap, crappy faucets. So it's more a matter of, I think, picking... either decide you're going to be a generalist and go all of them, or say, for now at least, what moves your heart? Would you like to make higher quality stuff? Do you want to make cheap stuff cranked mm-hmm. out? You know, whatever is going to work better for you. But I'd also...
My heart is making the individual one of a kind. Like, there's actually a...
Right, I got it. I'm going to interrupt you because we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. Then what I would do is have 6 pieces you love to death.
Okay.
And show them to those partners that you might want to partner with, the waste managements, the Sierra Clubs, etc.
Yeah.
And show the 6 on a video where you do dial back the enthusiasm so that it is...
I'm going to work on that right now.
Perfect.
All right. I thank you very much for calling.
One more question or no?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I am. I aim to please. Ask your question.
Okay. My quick question is: I kind of, you know, of course, I worry I blew it, but I did. I felt I didn't take that the TV thing I had, which got, and kind of market it fully. So when you have an opportunity like that, being like on a, you know, a TV morning show or whatever, how do you use that for your advantage to market?
Well, are you doing the other things, the Twitter, the Facebooks, the what have you?
I guess not as much as I should.
Okay, so then there you are. You give those things life. You give them a longer life. So, you know, you'll go on television, like I'm on this show for however long this is, but I have to give it a longer life. And that means I'm going to send it out to other people. I'm going to keep telling them about it.
Got it. Okay, thank you. And is it a no-no to mix up your personal personal Facebook page with your business? In other words, is it bad form to promote yourself on your personal page? Does it seem a little bit too egomaniacal?
It's not an egomaniacal. I think it depends on what's on your personal page. If you're in that wet shirt T-shirt contest, maybe that's the best thing that could be. Maybe that'll build your business really well. I don't know. I think most people would say you're supposed to keep them separate so you look like a professional. But I don't think those are the rules. I think the rules are create awesome stuff and then promise yourself that you're going to spend 20 hours a week marketing your stuff.
Yeah.
No 2 hours a week stuff.
You gave me my inspiration for the week. Thank you.
All right. All right. And I want to give you, Terry Bradford, the show is just about over. You've got 30 seconds. Give us the inspiration for the week.
Hey, love yourself. Get out there. Make yourself who you want to be. Be everything you ever thought you ever wanted to be. And now's your time.
And go to terrybradford.com. You can get his great CD that is inspirational in itself. Oh. Or if you would like to take singing lessons, again, it is terrybradford.com/lesson. And that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. I want to thank my board operator, Joanne Marr, and of course, all of you for listening and calling in. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do 3-minute workovers where you can call in. I don't care how severe your work problem is. I can usually help you get at least a baby step forward, maybe even a giant step. And whether it's peas or nonprofits or people, there does seem to be an ever greater emphasis on marketing it. From face-to-face to Facebook. I'll talk marketing careers with San Francisco State marketing professor and real-world marketing dude, Neil Cohen. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.